most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We are here at Gatlinburg-Pittman High School. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're brought to you by OEB Law and Matlock Tire. And now's the time we get to welcome Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com back to the program. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hope you guys are doing well.
Yes, sir. If you're going to spend a day near the mountains, today is that perfect day. So it's a glorious day to be up here at Gatlinburg-Pittman. But for the University of Tennessee, Volunteers showed some fight in the first half, had the lead for the better part of the second quarter against Georgia. In the end, Volunteers did not score in the second half, and the Bulldogs caught and passed the Volunteers late in the second quarter and never really looked back. But there was a lot to kind of digest from Tennessee's performance. What stood out to you last week for the Vols and the Bulldogs?
Well, I think the fact that the quarterback continues to get quarterback play gave you hope, really, for the first time. And Brian Maurer was by no means perfect. He made plenty of mistakes, and mistakes that I don't know what they were, and mistakes that fans don't know. So he wasn't perfect, but his timing, his delivery of the football in the first half was really good. I thought he put the ball in a good spot where only his guy could get it all night long, with the exception of the one interception that he threw, which, I mean, I don't know if there should have been. I know Jeremy Pruitt was looking for an interference call. I'm not sure if that was supposed to be a kind of a hole shot on a rope there, or if he just didn't see the safety or what. But outside of that ball, I thought he took care of the football pretty well. The question now is, how does he grow from week one to week two? And I think we'll find that out Saturday, but the expectation and the hope would be that he's going to be better in week two than he is in week one as a starter. And you left week one with him starting last week saying, guys got a chance to help Tennessee win some football games here. And is going to help jumpstart this offense that's had its share of issues throughout the season.
Brent, when you look at Maurer, and you kind of touched on it, so there's a hope from the Tennessee perspective that he gets 1 week better based on the experience. You counter that with Mississippi State's got a game of to watch of him. So that might be an interesting chess match in that regard.
Well, I don't think there's any question. They know kind of what he's going to do. And I asked Coach Pruitt that question last night on Vol calls, how big of a deal was that? And he kind of downplayed it and said, you know, Georgia and Kirby Smart knows Jim Chaney and they know what he likes to do. But, you know, I think some of the RPO stuff that Chaney did, I don't think Georgia was quite ready for. They adjusted to it in the second half with some of the things that Chaney attacked them with. And, you know, football's a game of adjustments. You adjust throughout the game. You've got some scheme stuff early that generally works for you, and then can you adjust? And then when everybody makes their adjustments, are your guys good enough to beat their guys one-on-one? And that's kind of what happens. You know, that's why if you upset somebody in football, when you're a heavy underdog, you need help. You need turnovers. You need the other team to play poorly, that type of thing. Because once everybody makes their adjustments after you figured out what each other are doing, it really comes down to a talent situation. I think that Georgia made some adjustments in the second half. I'm sure Tennessee adjusted some things offensively. But in the end, Georgia's a better football team. They were better in the second half, and Tennessee helped them by turning the football over and not converting and committing a couple of costly penalties. I still think I would love to see that game, Jimmy, if they don't give Georgia the football back at the end of the first half. Even at that game, even if Tennessee scores, let's play hypotheticals here and say that the deep ball that they throw is a touchdown. Where they're you know, questionable whether or not there should have been a pass interference call or not there. Say that ends up being a touchdown and you go up 21-20. I think Georgia probably still scores to end the half and you're still down at the half. And you're down 6 points. So, because I don't think at that point Tennessee defensively had a beat on being able to stop Georgia. They were in a good rhythm in the second quarter. I would have liked to have seen Tennessee manage the clock better there at the end of the half.
Yeah.
Take points going into the locker room, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, and not give Georgia the ball back with a minute to play and three timeouts. I just think they, you know, when you're trying to upset somebody, you try to make it a 60-minute game. You're trying to get it into the fourth quarter as a one-possession game. Tennessee couldn't do that. Had they managed the end of the first half better, could they? I don't know that they would have, but they would certainly had a better chance to have it a one-possession game going into the fourth.
Yeah, Tennessee snapped the ball with 29 seconds left on the play clock on one of them and then 22 on another. So if they had milked it a little bit better, Georgia wouldn't have had as much time. I do want to ask you this. So Tennessee against four FBS opponents has been outscored in the second half 71-19. Jeremy Pruitt gave us a litany of reasons why he thinks that might be the case. My question to you is that fixable?
Well, I think some of it is, and the first place you start, and I've not looked at the fourth down numbers, but Jeremy Pruitt said on Monday, he talked about turnovers in the second half. Tennessee's minus four in the turnover margin in the second half in losses this year. Okay, so I think the first thing you can do is you can stop turning the football over in the second half, because I think that's been certainly a detriment to Tennessee. So you can clean that part of it up, because I think those have all been self-inflicted wounds when you look at the turnovers Tennessee has had. I don't know that it's been a great play by the defense. I think it's been poor decisions by the offense more than anything else. So I think you can start there. But, you know, the question then turns around, Jimmy, do they have enough depth, you know, and do they run out of, you know, do they run out of energy, or do they run out of, you know, conditioning, or whatever the case may be? Again, I think that's where you manage the game with this team. Win time of possession better. You know, manage the clock where you're not up against time of possession in the second half, and you're not getting, you know, you're not getting stuck on the field that way. So I think there are some things fixable. I do think against good teams, against teams that are better than them, I think depth works against them and talent works against them. I think that was the case in the Georgia game. I don't think that was the case in the Georgia State game or the BYU game, but I do think that was the case in the Georgia game. I think Georgia's depth, you know, and talent rose to the forefront in the second half, whereas in the first half, I thought Tennessee schemed them up with some stuff, and Georgia was kind of on their heels trying to figure out what Tennessee was doing.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs, if you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. Sports Talk today is at Gatlinburg-Pittman High, where tonight it's the Highlanders against Austin East. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're brought to you by OEB Law and Matlock Tire. As you listen to 99.1, the Sports Animal.
We work all day under a neon Budweiser sign. Yeah, it's a really cool thing. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, we are Sports Radio WNML.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. It's a Rivalry Thursday. Sports Talk in Gatlinburg, where tonight it's Gatlinburg-Pittman against Austin East. 656-9900 if you have a question or comment for Brent. 656-9900. Let's check in with Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Swell. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. The more I hear talked about the people I respect about this Georgia-Tennessee game, I think we really didn't do that poorly. I really do. What do you think? Don't you all agree?
Well, I thought the first half Tennessee played well. Again, I think you could have helped yourself at the end of the first half better than what they did.
Right.
And in the second half, I don't think Tennessee played well. I think the one concern, you know, everybody's excited about Brian Maurer, and right. I get it. I understand that. I think the other concern moving into this week that I have coming out of the Georgia game is Georgia's ability to gain extra yards after contact, their ability to drag. Yeah. I mean, Tennessee didn't knock guys backwards. They kind of drug and held on for tackles. This Mississippi State tailback that's coming in is a real deal. He may be, Jimmy, I think he may be the most underrated player in the SEC. I really like Hill as a running back. I think he's tough. And I think Tennessee's got their hands full dealing with him on Saturday.
Right. time.
He leads the league in rushing. He's averaging right at 119 a game. A year ago, he had 700-something yards, but I also think he had an injury. But I thought that Moorhead's description of him was pretty interesting. He's got the moves of a back with a little body, but he's got a big body. And I think he is a really good football player.
Well, I think he has as many yards after contact on the season as Tennessee's leading rusher has.
Wow.
Wow.
So he's a handful.
What I wish he had knew when Coach Donahue was at Tennessee and when he was at Alabama, and when the defenders hit a ball carrier, they pushed with their legs until the whistle was blown, pushing him backwards. And I remember that about Coach Donahue's defenses, and I've never thought of anybody doing it since then. But if they would do that, I think it would help. And talking about Mississippi State, what do y'all think about Mississippi State's defense?
I think they're hard to get a beat on, Steve. I really do. And the reason I say that is, you know, who's going to play and who's not going to play. They have the luxury of the not having to declare who's going to serve a suspension, who's not going to serve a suspension in the game. They set some of those guys in the Auburn game, and Auburn had their way with them. Auburn did whatever they wanted to offensively against Mississippi State. Was that because they set those guys only, or was that because of some things Auburn did? Probably a little bit of both. But I do think it's a bit hard to get a beat on Mississippi State's defense because their lineup has been different pretty much every week as they manage the suspension stuff.
Right.
I would venture a guess that nobody on defense gets suspended for Tennessee because of Bob Shoup.
Well, and I think
that's my guess.
I'm sure this is a game. They're trying to get to 6 wins, okay? Yeah. And they gave a game away at home against Kansas State that they felt like was going to be one of their 6 to get them to postseason play. They've seen Tennessee through the first month of the season. I'm sure they view this as a game that they can win. Jeremy Pruitt said as much last night on Vol calls. He certainly expects all those defensive guys to play on Saturday. So I think State will be at full strength on defense. And they're better when they're that way, obviously, than they are if they've got 4 or 5 guys out suspended.
Right, right. Well, okay. Well, okay, guys. I've learned quite a bit listening to you. And I nearly always do.
Well, buddy, it's good
always
to hear from you.
Always look forward to Thursdays.
Steve, we do appreciate it. And so if you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900.
Brent, we had a chance to visit with true freshman offensive lineman Wanye Morris on Tuesday. I really enjoyed that conversation with him. What were your thoughts on Wanye Morris and the things that he said?
Well, he was a blast to deal with in the recruiting process when you had a chance to visit with him, and he wasn't in a rush or he wasn't doing homework while 19 reporters were calling him for an update. He was a likable guy to deal with at camps, a likable guy to visit with. You know, I appreciate, and I've appreciated all the freshmen, and I applaud Jeremy Pruitt for letting those guys talk this mm-hmm. year and not kind of, you know, keeping them under wraps, so to speak. Because I think, one, it gives you a view into their personality. But I think the other thing it does, too, is you get an honest look. I thought Wanye Morris was honest about where he is and what he's learned and what he has to work on and the things he's trying to improve on and what's been eye-opening for him. And I think those conversations are refreshing. So I thought he was pretty candid about, you know, kind of the stuff he's going through and some of the hard stuff that he's had, but also the expectation Part of the reason why he came to Tennessee was the thought that he would get to play early, and he's certainly done that. And I think if he stays healthy, he's got a chance to be Tennessee's left tackle for several more years here and will be a good football player and is getting better every week. I thought in the second half that maybe he got mentally fatigued as well as physically fatigued. Jimmy, I didn't think he I thought he made some technical things, kind of opened up a little bit and gave up some pass rush stuff, just – maybe a little bit out of fatigue, because I'm sure he's never played in a football game with that kind of intensity before for an entire game. Remember, he got hurt in the Florida game, and then he's been in and out of the lineup in the earlier games as they kind of break him in. I mean, that was his whole game there. I mean, it was game on for him, and I thought maybe run out of gas a little bit mentally and physically in the second half, but we'll see how he handles himself this week against a Mississippi State team that's going to certainly come at them and try to bring pressure at Tennessee off the edge, because we know Bob Shoup likes to do that.
Tennessee had a lot of visitors last weekend. What was the reaction from that group?
I think positive for the most part, because, again, you could walk into the Wolf Kaplan Center there in the recruiting lounge after the game was over, and you could turn to everybody in the room and go, hey, you can be a difference here. Look where we were in the first half. We ran out of gas because we don't have enough depth. We need more, okay? We need you, you know, Bryson Eason at middle linebacker, at inside linebacker. We need you, whoever, you know, name after name who is in town. We need you guys to come in and keep building the depth and keep building. Look at the number of freshmen we're playing. Look at the improvement those guys are making. Look at where we were in the first half. We just didn't have enough to hang with them. Much more tangible selling point and an easier selling point than to try to have a conversation with a kid on Sunday afternoon after you get beat 34-3 at Florida and you weren't competitive. So I think the atmosphere was good, and Tennessee had a tangible half of evidence to sell to those kids, which I think was a positive. I still think at some point you got to win, but you gave them something to sell based on what you did in the first half and how you competed against Georgia in that game for the first half.
Brent, what was your reaction to Harrison Bailey saying he's not going to make a big production out of it, but he is going to take more visits?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think there's a chance he may be up here this weekend. He did not come last weekend because of some family stuff he had going on. It was not a protest or anything like that. But again, I mean, you got to show, and we've talked about it for weeks, whether it's the West Coast guys or committed guys or other guys in the South that are recruiting, you got to show that you're moving forward the right way. Even Jeremy Pruitt acknowledged that last night when he said in his close of his interview, he said, you know, we can, in the building, we can see the improvement we're making. We feel like we're coming. At some point, that has to translate onto the field on Saturdays, okay? And I think from a recruiting standpoint, it's got to translate onto the field on Saturdays. That's why the first half last week, I mean, it's a hard sell if you're down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter and you're non-competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but I'm not surprised. I think there'll be several guys who will end up probably taking visits. I think the one challenge with Harrison Bailey, we actually have some of this discussion in our podcast tomorrow. So many quarterbacks are already secure at places and their commitment to places. Who all is coming after Harrison Bailey? Because most schools have their quarterback situation in this recruiting class, and in many cases in the 21 recruiting class, already done, already taken care of. So who all's picking up the phone and calling him, I think, is an interesting, you know, he said he was going to take visits. He hasn't named schools. So I'll be curious to see what schools are really pushing for him to get a visit. And does he feel like that school, you know, you're going to go there and be the number two quarterback in the class, or are you going to come to Tennessee and be the quarterback in the class? I think the attraction is to come to Tennessee and be the quarterback in the class, which is why I think if Tennessee continues to show a little bit of life, they're going to be okay with Harrison Bailey.
That's Brent Hubbs. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. Sports Talk today in Gatlinburg, the home of the Highlanders of Gatlinburg-Pittman High. They entertain Austin East tonight on Rivalry Thursday. Sports Talk sponsors today, OEB Law and Matlock Tire. More coming your way on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com, our guest to join us, 656-9900, 656-9900, *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, what's the latest on Reggie Grimes?
Visited here this past weekend, took his official visit. I think South Carolina is probably still the favorite with Grimes at this point. I think what's, you know, it's an interesting recruitment, Jimmy, because I think a lot of people are trying to figure out where he plays. He's a good athlete. He's got good size. So the natural reaction is he plays somewhere. But exactly what is he in college, I think, is up for debate, which is kind of, kind of ironic, because I think that was the story people had with his dad. When his dad came out of Hunter's Lane in Nashville years ago, his dad was very clear in his head that he was a running back, and that's where he was going to play. there are a lot of schools around the country, including Tennessee, who was like, I don't see running back. And so they were hesitant there, and they weren't real sure kind of what to do. And he ends up going to Alabama at a time where Alabama wasn't very good, and he did play running back there, and he had a solid, you know, college career. But it's a little bit, it kind of mirrors each other a little bit. Good athlete, good size, where does he play? I think Reggie probably feels like South Carolina has been more, probably recruited him harder and been more locked into him than Tennessee has been. I think Tennessee's got some, you know, has been trying to decide for several months just exactly where does he play and what does he, you know, what does he do position-wise.
During the course of the Tennessee game against Georgia, the Vols had about, I don't know, three offensive linemen that went down at some point, and then Jahmyr Johnson did not play. Is there a concern about the health of Tennessee's offensive line going into the Mississippi State game?
Well, I think there has to be, you know, because I don't know that I have a hard time seeing Riley Locklear play. I have not seen everything on the practice field. We only get a limited deal, but when we've been out there for 2 days, I haven't seen him do anything. So I don't know where he's at after getting his, quote, bell rung, as the head coach put it. You know, some guys got some ankle tweaks. I mean, they're a bit beat up there. I think there's some concern at that position. Coach Pruitt said yesterday Brandon Kennedy was a bit limited because he had a tender knee and a little bit of soreness in his knee. It was a physical football game against Georgia, really physical. And I thought Tennessee matched their physicality early in that game, particularly on the offensive line. I really did. I thought they created a nice pocket for the quarterback. They probably could have had a little bit more success had they run the football a little bit more. I mean, some running success. I don't think they were going to get 16 yards a pop like they did on the opening play. But I thought physically they were okay. The challenge is now you're trying to recover from that and the physical nature of that game going up against a team that's coming off a bye week, which is why I think you see Mississippi State as a heavier favorite than a lot of people thought, because from a scheduling standpoint, this game falls better for Mississippi State than it does for Tennessee.
Brent, how important is the Mississippi State game from Tennessee's perspective in terms of kind of salvaging the season? Look, it's been a very disappointing start. We all know that. But as far as getting some wins, keeping the recruiting class together, maybe bringing some more recruits into the fold, how big is this Mississippi State game for this Tennessee team?
I think it's a big game for this season. I do. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. I'm not saying it's a big game for Jeremy Pruitt's tenure. I don't think that's fair to say or anything like that right now. But for this season, for this team, for this recruiting class, yeah, it's a big game. It's a big opportunity for Tennessee, because I don't think State's great. I think they do some things well, but I don't think it's a great football team. And so you're at home, and you've got an opportunity to win one. And I think that's what Jeremy Pruitt was kind of saying last night on Vol Calls, is you got an opportunity. When the opportunity presents, you got to take advantage of it. And to do that, you can't turn the football over. They've got to tackle better. But I think when you look at what you're trying to, you know, to accomplish and where you're trying to build this thing and grow, I mean, you've talked, you know, the head coach talked about we're 100 times better than we were a year ago at this time. You know, offensive line's playing better than they played at any time since I've been here. You're saying a lot of positive things. Quarterback makes some play. You got to go out and prove it. You got to go out and earn it. So I do think it's a big game for Tennessee.
Which Mississippi State quarterback do you think poses the biggest problem? Is it the grad transfer from Penn State who's completing 64% of his passes, or the true freshman Garrett Schrader who's averaging 6.8 yards per rush?
I think it's Schrader, to be honest with you. Look, I think Mississippi State's got some good receivers. They got some big, tall receivers. I think you can throw it up to them and play a little jump ball, but I think Schrader can do that. I think Schrader's a problem for Tennessee and a bigger problem for Tennessee because of what he can do with his legs and his willingness to run the way he has thus far. It makes you play assignment football, which makes it harder to kind of gang tackle on the running back and key on the running back because somebody's got to guard the door, so to speak, and control the edge and set the edge that way. You can't crash down as much. So I think that when you look at Mississippi State's success, and I know, you know, Coach Moorhead's only in his second year there, but you look at them the last few years, their success has been because their quarterback's been another running back. And I think that remains the case. I will be surprised if Schrader doesn't play, if it's not Schrader to go, even though Stevens is healthy. I still think ultimately it's going to be Schrader because I think he gives them their most – dynamic offensive look because he's another guy you got to account for in the backfield more than Stevens. Stevens has run it a little bit, but his commitment to running has not been what Schrader's has been, nor has it been as effective.
You have Tennessee Basketball Media Day tomorrow, and I think there's obviously a lot of excitement about just the transition we're seeing take place in the program. The most highly regarded prospect to say yes and sign on with Tennessee and Rick Barnes' tenure in Knoxville is about ready to make his debut. What are your thoughts on this team as they look for, one, a lot of help underneath the basket, as well as a great finish to some 10 years at Tennessee for guys like Lamonte Turner and for Jordan Bowden?
I think they're going to have to shoot the ball well from the perimeter, and they've got to get Euros Blavich eligible. But you know, they're not going to be an inside out team. They're going to be more of an outside in team. Can they beat some guys off the dribble? Do they play small ball and spread everybody out? I just think it's going to be such a different looking team than it was a year ago. Yes, there's going to be principles that are the same. Those aren't going to go away, defensive principles and some of the things that Rick Barnes wants to do. But I think this is going to be an up-tempo basketball team that's going to run the floor, that's going to be more perimeter-oriented. So how does Rick Barnes generate points? Because it can't just be shoot the three. Okay, we saw Lamonte Turner attack the rim and get to the free throw line. Bowden's got to do that consistently this year. They've got to generate points going to the basket from the perimeter, as opposed to throwing it, you know, at the 15-foot mark to Grant Williams and telling him to back somebody down, or putting it on the block and telling him to back somebody down. So different style team, but you know they're going to play with the same type of effort and energy as we've seen, and I think that's why you're seeing ticket sales be brisk. And you know, everybody wants to see Josiah James. Where's Rick Barnes going to play him? How is he going to be effective, and where is he most effective? Is it as a point guard and you take Lamonte Turner off the ball? Is it, you know, at times you put him down on the wing and play him that way? I mean, he can play 1-4 really, and can guard 1-4. So I think he's going to be really interesting to see what happens. There's so much expectation on him. Can he live up to that billing? How does Rick Barnes manage him early in the year, kind of building his legs, building his minutes? It's going to be a fun basketball team to watch for sure.
We were talking with Chris Dortch earlier this week, and what do you think it means to Coach Barnes, as well as his staff, albeit a very important member of his staff is now the head coach at Georgia State, but you had four guys that three were drafted, and another worked his way into an opportunity with a contract, and none of those guys were top 100 players. What do you think that means to just the program and that next step, as we have seen what could be the biggest class since ratings kind of came into being, the most highly rated class Tennessee's ever had?
Well, I think it's why Josiah James is here. I think it's why Corey Walker's coming. I think it's why there's a great chance Jaden Springer's going to be here. You know, I think that you talk to recruits, and I'm sure Rob's talked to you guys about this on Mondays in his appearance. You know, guys want to be developed. Every guy has an ambition to play at the next level. They want to play in the NBA, okay? And so even if you think you're a one-and-done guy or a two-and-done guy, who you want to go somewhere where you're going to get to play, but you're also going to be developed and improved, okay? Look, there's a story in the Boston Globe, I think it was, John, a couple of weeks ago or maybe a week or so ago about Grant Williams. And one of the things it talked about from Brad Stevens, who's obviously a well-respected coach at all levels of basketball, is what Grant's IQ was, his understanding of the game. You've heard those things out of Washington with Admiral Schofield as well. So I think it's a huge selling point. And I think it's a huge selling point to recruits. It's also a huge selling point to the underclassmen on this team that, you know what, Rick Barnes may be hard, and he's hard to play for, okay? A practice is rough. But if you'll listen and take the message out of it and learn from it, he's going to make you a better basketball player. Okay, Kevin Punter's told people would have loved to have had a couple of years with Rick Barnes. Where would he be in terms? He's playing overseas, but where would he be in terms of how much money he would be making if he'd had another year with Barnes? Everybody that's come through this program that stayed has gotten better, and I think that's a great selling point that they have in this program right now for current players who are underclassmen, and obviously for future recruits as well.
That's Brent Hubbs with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. We've got a final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk. The hour is brought to you by our good friends at Goodness gracious.
Matlock Tires?
No, well, our show is brought to you by Matlock Tires and OEB Law. Diversified Enclosures and Screens, sponsor Brent's Hour. Had a complete and total blank as I went 16 different directions. But Brent's Hour brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. Sports Talk brought to you by OEB Law and Matlock Tire. And we've got another segment to hour number three of Sports Talk next.
Not so much our job as it is our obsession. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Final segment to this hour of Sports Talk, a final segment with Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. Let's check in with Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
John, you know the two worst things about getting old?
What are they?
You lose your memory, and I can't remember what the second one was.
I was about to offer that punchline for you, but I thought, since you were kind enough to call... Yeah, that does
bite. Well,
you've
got a long time to go until you get old. So, anyway, Brent, questions about our man, Mr. Jay Hardy, down here at McCauley.
Yes, sir.
You heard about his injury, didn't you?
Yeah, really bad play. I saw the highlight of it. Really bad play, and thankfully it's not any worse than what it is. It could have blown his knee out and, you know, tore an ACL and created a year-long rehab for him. Just a guy dove straight at his knee on a extra point field goal play. Just really, really, really unnecessary play. Not needed at all. Really a dirty play.
Yeah, that was about the cheapest shot I've ever seen. And anything about him and us?
Well, I think Tennessee still sits in good shape with him right now. Again, I think he would like to see Tennessee some tangible results there. I think Auburn's, you know, calling some. I don't think Auburn's gone hard after him at this point, but Auburn is, you know, made a few phone calls and had a few conversations there. He may end up taking some visits. He said all along he was going to take his allotment of visits. We'll see where those are. I think right now Tennessee's still in good spot because he's got a good relationship with the other guys who are committed. But to hold everybody together the way you want to, you need to continue to show improvement on the field. And as we've talked about this hour, a win would go a long ways for helping that as well.
Right. Thanks for the update. Thanks, guys. Good show.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
Always appreciate it, Doug. Thank you very much.
Brent, there have been several folks that have Tennessee's men's basketball team ranked in the top 25. Others have them on the bubble as far as being among the last four getting into the NCAA tournament. What do you see for Tennessee men's basketball?
Well, I think it depends, again, on where are they with Plavich, because I think they've got to have help in the post. Can Fulkerson stay healthy? Can he become more consistent than he's been? They've got to find, you know, something in terms of some post play night in and night out. Not that they're going to have what they've had the last couple of years, but they've got to have some kind of presence in the post offensively and then defensively as well. And then again, I think it's going to come down to this team. Can they shoot the basketball consistently all year long from the perimeter? And I think that's one of the concerns you have with perimeter-oriented teams, Jimmy. How do you manage their legs, make sure they don't run out of gas? How many good teams have we seen in the month of December that's shooting something crazy from beyond the arc, and they look like the best team in the country, and then they fade in late February, 1st of March, because their legs are gone, they're out of gas. So I think you're going to have to manage this team pretty well that way, because I think they're going to be so perimeter dependent compared to what they've been the last few years.
Brent, what's going on these days at VolQuest.com?
Well, we're loaded up, ready to go. I mean, we've got our matchup piece up, a complete breakdown of the matchup, but kind of position group by position group for Tennessee and Mississippi State. We've got a Rocky Top Roundtable up from earlier today. Tomorrow we'll have the War Room podcast. We'll do our prediction. Jesse will have his 10 things, I think. We'll have the cheat sheet as well. We'll have full follow-up with it on Sunday afternoon with some of the stuff that we do. Our Upon Further Review piece is one of our most popular pieces. That'll be up around 5 or so on Sunday afternoon, kind of looking back at the game and breaking it down that way. So plenty of football coverage. We'll have basketball coverage tomorrow from Tennessee's Media Day tomorrow afternoon as well. So plenty of things in the hopper, and we'll see what happens with this team at noon and a winnable game. But not by no means a laydown game, because these are two pretty evenly matched teams. Should be a good one on Saturday in Neyland Stadium.
Brent, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything this weekend, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And that is Brent Hubbs. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Hour number four of Sports Talk is next. We will have a Tennessee football practice report with Eric Kane. And up next, your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6:00.